Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Football can easily be turned into a results-driven business. What I learned that this team is special, it's resilient. And the mindset I think we've had all year is the same mindset we want to have next year, especially as an offense. Just the unselfish mentality that so many of our guys had. But there's a lot of amazing, incredible things about this team that we'll carry over to next year.
Buffalo Bills tight end Dawson Knox speaking there on the unselfish attitude of the offense this year. The everyone eats did work. First team in NFL history to have 30 touchdown passes and 30 rushing touchdowns. I do think, though, there are ways to augment that. You needed a boundary wide receiver. You need speed. You need overall team speed, I think, to get even more out of that offense. But if we're taking it just as this season, I was very happy with the offense. But I think there's a little bit more you can definitely get from it. Now, especially that you have the offensive line, James Cook, you add one more, I think, legitimate receiver on this team with Khalil Shakir, with Keon Coleman's like potential like asset to like the red zone and just being a big body. I like what they have.
You know what? You didn't win the Super Bowl, so ultimately there's always room for improvement. And I'm not saying that as, you know, trying to be
That's fair.
That guy. But at the same time, like you said, you need speed. You didn't have anyone that could make separation. Sure, Keon Coleman can go up and make big catches. They even tried that in the late in the game, or maybe it was earlier in the game.
Mm-hmm.
The same play they did in Seattle, where he goes up and catches the ball over Woolen. They tried that against Kansas City, just didn't work out the same way. It's a proven play that's worked before because he also kind of did it in the Jets game. Granted, the pass was probably intended for Ty Johnson and Coleman came in out of nowhere, but there's certain aspects to all these wide receivers that could be good, but you got to add that one last guy that can just burn you down the sideline. And they haven't had that.
Yeah.
So
even with
Diggs, they didn't really have that.
No, because that was not really Diggs' game. Diggs was a great deep ball guy, but he was not a burner necessarily. No. They really have not had that guy in a long time. I'd argue they haven't really had it in the McDermott era, which is somewhat frustrating. Again,
closest you can get is John Brown.
Oh, you know, you're right. You're right. John Brown absolutely counts there. I've mentioned it, and I'll probably keep mentioning, even though I kind of have become wrong here, but I was not the biggest worthy guy coming out of college. Of the Texas guys that wanted to add Nye Mitchell, I don't think that was ever surprising by most people. And his rookie year was a disaster. And I will defend it constantly that his quarterback play was subpar. 803-0550.
Subpar. It was well below par.
Oh, okay, I thought you were going to like argue. I'm like, what?
No, it was well below par.
803-0550, the number two call. Talking a lot about the game on Sunday, but also looking forward now as we are well into the offseason. The Senior Bowl is this weekend. The first Senior Bowl practice is today. We go to Tom on the line. Tom, how are we doing this morning? Tom, are you there? Oh, that's sad. Tom's not there. That's frustrating. Well, on to Joey. Joey, how are we doing this morning?
Hey guys, what's going on? How you doing?
Doing all right.
Doing as best as we can.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. Yesterday, I had off. Yesterday, I only left my bed to eat and to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like, oh, here we are once again. Real quick, I'm gonna keep this under a minute, real short and sweet. During the 2017 draft, when it was the number 10 pick, I saw Mahomes there, and I was with all my boys, and we were having a good time. And I'm like, oh, I hope we pick him. Now, the moment we traded out of that pick to Kansas City, the house across the street blew up, okay? And we were all stunned, but I am such a diehard Bills fan that the only thing I thought about was, oh, my God, is this good or bad? Is this an omen? Now, I am the most positive Bills fan on planet Earth. During that game, I just constantly said out loud, the Bills are going to win, the Bills are going to win, the Bills are going to win. It didn't happen. But now, years later, we are 0-4 and we can't get past Mahomes. I actually have a question for you guys. who was the guy who actually decided to trade that pick? Was it McDermott or was it still Doug Whaley doing that draft?
Ooh, Joey, thanks for the call. I think that was McDermott because ultimately Whaley is let go immediately after that. So I can't imagine. I think that was McDermott. And that's partially why I know the 2017 draft will always have that. They traded the pick that ultimately allowed for Mahomes. I understand that. Mm-hmm. For me, it's a little different. Just for the context, McDermott didn't even have his GM yet. And Mahomes, if you do remember, he's the third quarterback taken. Ultimately, Mitch goes first, and then Deshaun Watson. Mahomes was considered a huge flight risk mm-hmm. for a lot of guys. Had all the talent in the world,
right?
But remember,
he was the first wave of the new kind of prototype quarterback. I guess you want to call it that.
But the problem again, the context here is. Already, the expectations were the 2018 draft class is going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
It was already getting compared to 83. So if you're McDermott, I don't have a GM yet. This is my first draft. I've been here for 3 months. The GM I'm working with is going to be let go for the guy I'm ultimately going to replace him with. Why in the hell would I pick a quarterback?
Yeah.
Where I will ultimately already be there setting up my franchise to, if this guy doesn't work, I'll be fired in 3 years.
Right. Yeah,
they had a plan that ultimately worked because they got their guy in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
But the 2017 class was not considered this great, you need to get one of these guys class. Again, Mitch Trubisky is taken like third overall, which looking back on it, even the night of was stunning. But I understand it because the omens are not great. But at the time, no. And Trubisky was actually taken second, not third. But so it makes it even worse. Again, the omen looks bad. The context, though, I think it truthfully would have been a terrible move by McDermott to take a quarterback in 2017.
He did take a quarterback in 2017. Nathan Peterman.
Well, not a first round.
Fifth round. I'm sorry. I had to throw that in there. But no, I think you're right. It's always going to be
uncomfortable.
It makes 100% sense, though. Like, when you look at it big picture, when you look at it just at the trade, it looks terrible. Like,
objectively, it looks terrible.
But like I said, he was the first of that, I'm going to call it the prototype quarterback, you're testing this out. Like, you're seeing what the next generation of quarterback is going to be. Sure, Allen kind of gets there in a more flashy way, but Mahomes was the same thing. Mahomes was this guy where it's like you're taking a chance. He went to a little bit of a smaller school. Not saying Texas Tech is all that small, but it's not typically a school you'd
look. They win seven games. They put up 70 points a game. It is what it is.
Sure, yeah. But like same thing with Allen. Like he's going to Wyoming. Yep. He's this guy that's kind of unheard of. He had no offers out of high school. Like all this stuff. Like it really plays into just kind of everything leading up to now. Like the way their legacies have started compared to now. And it adds so much more to the game, I think, in that aspect too, because they're both kind of not necessarily looked at the same in the draft, but it was a risk taking both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So
a huge risk.
Yeah. And I think that's, again, to your point, like why they wouldn't have done it, because mm-hmm. it just didn't make sense.
Yep. Let's go now to Joe on the line. Joe, how are we doing this morning?
Yes. Good morning. I guess my comment is, well, I got a few comments, and that's about I just don't believe that McDermott is the man that's going to lead the Bills to the promised land for a couple of reasons. I mean, all this guy is the new so-called, like, Marty Schottenheimer. If you look up those records between McDermott and Schottenheimer, I mean, they pretty much resemble each other. And, you know, and as long as we have McDermott, we're going to be playing checkers, and Kansas City's going to be playing chess. They've gotten constantly outcoached, and when plays need to be made, Kansas City makes those plays. Buffalo does not make these plays. And, you know, and then you guys are a little bit contradicting yourselves when you say you both expected Buffalo to win the game. I thought the only way Buffalo was going to win this game is if they won the turnover battle by maybe 3 or 4 to 1 or something like that, and they eventually ended up scoring touchdowns on those turnovers. But if you look at the matchups, the only clear advantages the Bills had was running back and offensive line. That's the only two areas. Other than that, I don't know why you would ever think that unless Buffalo got a lot of help on the turnover battle, that they would ever win this game.
Joe, they were leading the game going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean...
You're acting like they needed like six turnovers to win this.
Andy Reid wasn't going to have his way with this team like he always does.
But he kind of didn't. They got a field goal. If Allen and the offense could score, they were going to win the game or at least have the lead with like 10 seconds left. You're acting like they were blown out.
No, you guys are missing the point. You are missing the point. They had the lead. I get it. But at the end of the day, guess what? They didn't make the plays. Andy Reid and his team made the plays.
So it's not the players' fault then? You're saying they make the plays.
With these same passes. When was the last time the Buffalo had four or five intermediate passes down the field? I mean, in the playoffs, they ran the same plays over and over and over again. What would ever make you believe that they were going to win this game?
They had the lead in the fourth quarter, Joe. Thanks for the call. And also Marty Schottenheimer. I'm tired of this comparison. He was 5-13 in the playoffs. McDermott already has more wins than him in the playoffs. He has 7.
Yeah, and
he made it to one AFC championship game in the middle of his career. McDermott's made it to 2. Mm-hmm. And again, give me another team who's making Super Bowls and winning them in the AFC. Come on. And we're at. They need to win the turnover battle by 4 or 5. But they won it by 1. And again, they had the lead in the fourth.
Yeah,
if their players could make plays, they maybe have something. Allen, you have 18 seconds on the play clock. Check for a blitz. It's 4th and 5. It's the play of the season.
Yeah.
Instead of rushing it. It's not a coaching. Maybe complain about the players once or twice. Allen, 2 years in a row, you have a moment to go down the field and score to win a game or at least to tie it. You gave Tyler Bass a field goal, and this time you didn't even give him anything. It's not always McDermott. What helps the Chiefs, they have closers. They have guys that in the moments, they make plays. We talk about how even if the field goal went in last year against the Chiefs, we all kind of assumed the Chiefs would go down and score, right? Like, that's kind of where we're at. Hell, let's go to last week against the divisional round. Lamar went right down the field and scored. If Mark Andrews catches that 2-point, sweet. It's a tie game for the Ravens. Why is anyone convinced now that Allen's going to lead this team down and score in the playoffs on a must-win drive? I'm asking honestly. Why would anyone be convinced he's going to go do it? He hasn't twice now. To end the season, he hasn't twice now. The players need to make plays. Is it McDermott's fault that Kyrie Elam is a complete and utter bust and can't cover anybody? They lost arguably an all-pro corner on like the third play of the game.
Right after he made a massive, massive breakup. Like,
they were still in it.
And to look at
that's coaching.
To look at the turnover battle too, I think in games like this, specifically Bills and Chiefs, or specifically like Bills and Ravens, you have to look at who punted more as well. You have to look at those as turnovers in games like this. Because when you look at that, there's times where if you're punting, you're basically just giving, you're basically throwing an interception or a fumble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the way I look at games like this too. Like, you, there's a reason the Bills went for it on fourth down so many times. And they were pretty good at it for the most part. They were just not good at it in the time that it mattered the most. They mm-hmm. were 4 for 6 on fourth downs. If you take away the last fourth down of the game, they were 4 for 5. I can't remember the other one that they fell short on, but oh, it was when Allen got pushed across the line, but actually,
oh,
no,
yeah,
he didn't.
Yeah,
yeah, never mind. That, like, if you, like, there's a reason why they're going for so many fourth downs in this game. Kansas City went 1 for 1. That's because they converted earlier. They didn't need to get to fourth down. They didn't need to worry about that. But then again, you also forced Kansas City to punt more.
In the second half, they were fine.
Yeah.
The defense was very good. You got multiple stops. You kept yourself in the game.
That's what matters.
I just don't understand this feeling that, like, you always knew they were going to lose. They needed to win the turnover battle by, like, 3 or 4.
In my eyes, they won the turnover battle. Yes, they got one fumble. But they also forced Kansas City to either punt or not go for a touchdown when the Bills went for more.
They set themselves up.
I thought
the coaching, especially in the second half, was much better. Your players need to make plays. 803-0550 is the number to call. Sal Capaccio coming up in just about 12 minutes. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.